We're going to turn, please, in God's Word to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John and the chapter 20. The Gospel according to John and the chapter 20. In the first part of this chapter, we read of the resurrection morning. In verse 1, we read of Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb. And then we read of Simon, Peter, and John coming, and how John, he saw the clothes, the grave clothes, and he believed. Peter and John then returned to the place where they were staying. And we're going to read from the verse 11. So John chapter 20 and the verse 11. But Mary stood without, or Mary stood outside at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious truth. We're going to seek the Lord's face together briefly in prayer. Let us bow before the Lord. And we need the Lord's help as we come to his word. I certainly need help in preaching. And you as a congregation need help in hearing the word. And let us seek the Lord's face. Our gracious Father, we do thank thee today that Christ is risen. And we thank thee that the grave could not hold him. And Lord, we pray today, and as we come and consider that great scene here on that resurrection morning, we pray that our hearts today will be warmed afresh. And Lord, may we rejoice in the risen Christ and great implication of that resurrection to our hearts. Grant that needed help in the preaching and hearing of thy word. Give that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. The privilege of being the first to see Jesus Christ after his resurrection from the dead was the privilege of Mary Magdalene. In Mark chapter 16, in the verse 9, Mark draws our attention to that fact. He says, Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Now, undoubtedly, Mary Magdalene is a very important person in the Word of God and the whole story of our Lord's ministry, his death, and resurrection. Through history, much has been said and pictured to distort the image of Mary Magdalene. Rome has wrongly characterized her as a prostitute. Some have blasphemously suggested that the Lord Jesus had some sort of essential relationship with Mary Magdalene. Some have claimed that through church history there has been this conspiracy to suppress the true story of Mary Magdalene. They will claim that the true story of Mary Magdalene is not represented in the New Testament and that her role is greater than what we have set forth in the New Testament. Dan Brown alluded to some of that in his fiction book, The Da Vinci Code. A couple of weeks ago, a new movie was released, Mary Magdalene, and media articles about that movie say that the movie depicts her as a feminist. It fits in with this view that Mary had great aspirations, but that somehow those aspirations were suppressed. The lady who plays Mary Magdalene in that movie, she said in an interview that Mary was incredibly radical for her time. It would have been totally shocking, she says, and unheard of for a woman to go off with a load of men, leaving her family. She really was a profound feminist figure, way ahead of her time. I couldn't believe her story hadn't been told before. And I laughed as I read those words. I couldn't believe her story hadn't been told before. The reason why her story hasn't been told before, as the movie tells it, is because it's novel. It is made up. If it fit with the Word of God, then there wouldn't be anything new about it. But it's new because it is untrue. Now, some of the details of that movie do come from the so-called Gospel of Mary, which even liberals will say that comes from the Gnostic movement well after the times of the apostles. There's no way that that Gospel of Mary can be spoken of as scripture. And for this actor to speak of Mary Magdalene as being very unique in that she went off by herself with a group of men, that in itself is a distortion of scripture. For in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, Luke tells us that as Mary followed the Lord and the disciples, Luke 8, verses 1 to 3, Mary was accompanied by other women, a number of them. Are we to say then that all of those ladies were feminists radically ahead of their time? It's nonsense. Hollywood has no interest in the Bible. Hollywood has no interest in the proclamation of the gospel. This movie, like so many others that will take a character or an incident from the Bible, is a distortion, an attack upon the Bible, and God's people therefore should have nothing to do with it. While that is true, the story of Mary Magdalene, as it is told in the Word of God, certainly ought to be told. And in one message this morning, we can't tell the whole story of Mary Magdalene. But I do want to draw out that Mary Magdalene was this lady who first met the risen Lord, as Mark speaks of it. And as Mary Magdalene met with the Lord gave to Mary some words that she was to carry to the disciples. And it is interesting that the Lord didn't give this message directly to the disciples, but he gave it to this lady. And he said to this lady, you take this message to the disciples. If you look with me at verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And in verse 18, we read of how she went to the disciples. In the latter part of the verse, she speaks that which he had spoken unto her. She relayed the words of verse 17 to these disciples. And it is, I want to think then of these words in verse 17 this morning. And I want to entitle the message very simply, Mary's Declaration to the Disciples. Mary's declaration to the disciples, for she took the words that the Lord had said, and she conveyed them to those 11 men. I want to see, first of all, that her message declared the position of the believer. Her message declared the position of the believer. And what marvelous words these are in verse 17. Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And surely what the Lord is saying in those words is, assure these disciples that they are the very children of God. I ascend to my Father and your Father. You are the children of God. Isn't it beautiful how the Lord spoke of those men? The Lord said, "Go to my brethren." He didn't say, "Go to those scoundrels who fled from me." He didn't say, "Go to those men who were full of unbelief." But so tenderly, he said, "Go to my brethren." How sweet. Dear Christian, I want you to place yourself in that room where the disciples were gathered. And you think of how the day before those disciples had been so miserable, so filled with doubts. Now some of them believed, some didn't. John believed when he saw the grave clothes, and yet there were still so many questions in his mind. And you think of how, as Mary Magdalene came to them, she brought these words that should have been so comforting to them. The Lord says, "You're his brethren," and the Lord says, "You are the children of God." She was declaring the position of the saints of God. How comforting to hear Mary say, "The risen Lord calls you his brethren." Doesn't it remind us of those words that Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews chapter 2? Hebrews 2 verse 11, "He is not ashamed to call them brethren." The Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call you, dear believer, his brother, his sister. How can we call God the Father our Father? How can we call Almighty God, the great Creator, the great sustainer of this entire creation? How dare we call him our God? How can we? We can. Because Christ has said, "I am not ashamed to call them my brethren." It's an account of our great union with Jesus Christ. And as the children of God, then, we are united to Christ. We are adopted into the family of God. And so Christ gave this double emphasis here. I ascend unto my Father and your Father. I ascend unto my God and your God. And he was laying great emphasis on this, on their position as the very children of God. You are children of God, the Lord was emphasizing. In Christ, you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What is Christ by right? The Son of God. You can say that title is yours by mercy. You're a son, you are a daughter, a child of God. And the disciples then, they were to reflect on these words in verse 17. And as they were to reflect on them, they were to rejoice in them. These words were given for their encouragement. These words were given that their weary hearts might be repaired. And surely as the Lord said, "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God," the Lord was saying, "We are joined together. I ascend then as your representative. I ascend as your head. I go to my Father." But Christ was saying, "I'm not going only with my interest in view, but I go with your interest in view. He is my Father and he is yours. He is my God and He is yours. And today, dear Christian, these words are written for your encouragement as well. That Christ has not gone to heaven just for His own sake. Believer, He has gone on your behalf. He is there today as your representative. And He would say to you today, oh so tenderly, I am there before my Father and your Father. Before my God and your God. You think of how the Lord said this in verse 17. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Now remember, many of these 11 still didn't even believe in the resurrection. And the Lord was saying to Mary, go and tell them, I am soon to ascend. The Lord took them beyond the resurrection to the ascension. Now, of course, in that, the resurrection was implied. But the Lord was showing there's something very vital for God's people in the truth of the ascension. As we read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see there's a great emphasis on the preaching of the resurrection. Wherever the apostles went, what was the message they preached? Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Very often I feel our ministry today, in seeking to emphasize the death of Christ, we can lose that particular focus. Now, we ought never to lose focus of the essential nature of the death of Christ. But the resurrection is an equal vital part of the gospel. But then Mary, in the words that she relayed to these disciples, takes us an even step further. And she is saying the ascension of Christ, His appearance in glory, that too is a vital part of the gospel. Remember, Paul asked that question in Romans chapter 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? Now, there are many of God's people, and they can feel their failure, their lack of loyalty. They can identify with those 11 disciples that had forsaken the Lord and fled. And as they hear those words, who is he that condemneth? Many of God's people, they will say, well, surely there is so much that I could be condemned for. And if we were to take incidents in the life of those men in days previous, and just to look at those men, there's much evidence that could have been raised against them. And yet, on the other hand, not one shred of evidence could be raised against them. For as Paul asked that question, who is he that condemneth? He gave the answer, it is Christ that died. The sin of those men, the record of it was gone. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, He also maketh intercession for us. And isn't that what the Lord was saying here then? I have died for you. The record of your sin is gone. I have risen again. I am soon to ascend and present in heaven all of the great benefits of that death and resurrection. Therefore, dear Christian, today as you feel your weakness, as you feel your failure, and it is good for you to feel that, it's good for you to confess it. But don't stop there. Come then and see that Christ says, your sin is covered. The record of it is gone. And oh, today that you would get your eyes heavenward and see that Christ has not only risen, He has ascended. And that He appears at the right hand of the Father on your behalf, making intercession for you. Perhaps there's one on the meeting this morning and you're not saved. And as these words that Mary carried to these disciples ought to have brought encouragement, these words ought to bring you trepidation. And what was it that The Lord said to Mary, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. If you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ, you cannot say he is your God. You cannot say he is your Father. Now, of course, he is your Father, he is your God in the sense of he is your Creator. And you will stand before him, you will answer to him. He's your God in that sense. But he's not your Savior. He's not your Lord. He's your judge. And these words then, they ought to fill you with trepidation if you're here without Jesus Christ. I am without God and without hope in this world. And if you're without God and without hope in this world, dear sinner, how will it be in eternity? And oh, that you would recognize then today the awfulness of your state. But the great wonder of the gospel, that Christ would say to you today, come to me, be joined to Christ, that you might be enabled then to say that he's my God. That he is my Father. May you not reject any longer the offer of mercy. May it no longer be said of you, as the Lord said of those religious leaders, you're off your father, the devil. But may you come and have Christ as your Lord, and therefore God as your heavenly Father. This message that Mary Magdalene brought, it declared the position of the believer. I want to see then, secondly, that her message declared the prospect of the believer. And we're in verse 17, John 20, 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father. I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend, in the sense there is, I am ascending, emphasizing it is soon to happen. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now these words not only speak then of the prospect set before Christ, that within a few weeks Christ would ascend. But the Lord, as he spoke these words, he was saying there is a great prospect for the believer. There's a prospect for God's people while on earth. For remember, a few days before, the Lord had been speaking to the disciples in words that we have in John 14, John 15, John 16. The discourse at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Remember how in that discourse, the Lord had spoken of how he will go away. And he would go away that the Comforter would come. And surely as Jesus Christ now says to Mary, tell my disciples, I ascend unto my Father, he is saying that the time is coming. Soon I will go away. How could this encourage them? Because the Lord was saying, as I will ascend, very soon then the Holy Spirit will come. Very soon the Comforter will come. And today, dear Christian, we are to rejoice then in this, that there is something here for God's people while we are on earth. Today we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit has come. He is that Comforter. And therefore today we are to rejoice. These words, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, to my God and your God, they were not to cause the disciples to lament. Remember, after the ascension, how did the disciples return to Jerusalem? They returned with great joy. And today then we are to rejoice. Though Christ is not physically with us, the Holy Spirit has come. Christ had to go that this would be the case, that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in our hearts. But I want to not only say there's this prospect for God's people while on earth, there's a prospect for God's people in eternity. The Lord said something very unusual here in verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. Now, much has been written on these particular words. There are different views about what the Lord was saying here. What must stand as unusual about this is a week later, the Lord would say to Thomas, "Put your finger into the print of the nails in my hand. Put your hand into my side." And surely the Lord then was challenging one to touch him. Luke 24, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." The Lord's resurrection was a bodily resurrection. It was a true resurrection. In that sense, he could be touched. Why did the Lord say then, "Touch me not"? Well, it is helpful to remember that the particular Greek word that's translated here, "touch me not," is a Greek word that actually has the idea of clinging. And the words then could be translated, "Stop clinging to me, stop adhering to me, stop fastening yourself to me." Why did the Lord give that instruction? Perhaps the Lord was emphasizing that Mary didn't want to lose the Lord again. And the Lord was saying, "You have to let go." So Mary had been lamenting how the Lord had been taken away in death. And now she could touch the Lord, she could hold him. And the Lord was saying, "Stop clinging to me, because I'm going to ascend. You can't keep me here." And she related that then. She was being taught not to be taken up with the physical presence of Christ, that the Lord must ascend. And the Lord was emphasizing that she would not be worse off for that ascension. Mary would not be worse off when the Lord would be taken from her physically. What was the Lord saying then to Mary? He was saying, I ascend to my Father. I ascend to my God. But he said, I ascend to your Father and your God. I go then as the forerunner. Soon you will follow. Isn't that why the Lord gave this emphasis? It's my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Soon you're going to come. Remember how again in John 14 the Lord had said, if I go, if I ascend, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the Lord was saying, Mary, I am going soon. But be comforted, soon you will be there also. I go as the forerunner, Christ was saying. I go to guarantee that you shall be there as well. Paul said in the book of Philippians, our conversation, it's actually in the Greek, our citizenship is in heaven. And today, dear believer, your belonging is not here on the earth. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're just a temporary resident here. You're just abiding in a tent. One day the tent is going to be taken down. If you're a Christian, your eternal dwelling is above. And the Lord was emphasizing here to these disciples through Mary that their future as God's people is guaranteed. They will be in glory. Not because they're good and faithful brethren, and it's good to be a good and faithful brother, and the Lord will reward that. But their presence is guaranteed solely on the work of the death and resurrection of Christ. Your assurance of glory is not grounded in your perseverance. You must persevere. But your assurance is not grounded in that. Your assurance is to be grounded in Christ alone. And Christ says to you today then, I have ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And your future then is guaranteed in Him. Mary brought a message declaring the position of the believer. She declared the prospect of the believer. And I want to see then very quickly, finally, she declared the preeminence of the Savior. She declared the preeminence of the Savior. For in verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't say, I ascend unto our Father. I ascend unto our God. And of course, there's a sense in which the Lord could have said that. It would have been correct. But the Lord has laid emphasis on something here. As the Lord has emphasized the union between Christ and His people, the Lord in the wording here is careful to guard the preeminence of Christ over His people. And today then, dear Christian, you are to rejoice in your position in Christ. But you're also to rejoice in this, that the Christ is the express image of the Father. He is preeminent. He has not been divested of any of His glory. In order to save you, He remains the eternal Son of God. And therefore, as He said here, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, He is showing His great superiority, His preeminence. On a day like this, we see the superiority of true biblical Christianity over every religion in the world. Where are the leaders of the false religions? They're in the grave. Where is Muhammad? Where is Joseph Smith? Where is Charles Russell? They're in the grave. Where is Jesus Christ? He is in glory. But we can think today of others who are in glory. But as we think of our blessed Lord, He has a position infinitely greater than they. He is there in the Father's right hand. He is exalted. He is enthroned. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. And yet that exalted Christ is not ashamed to call us His brethren. What a Savior. What a gospel. May our hearts truly be thrilled today as we think of the risen Christ. What a wonderful Lord. We trust the Lord will bless His word to your heart.